Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is KJ and Lyons. KJ Carson and John Lyons right now on WEEI.
Feels really good. I mean, just to be secure, you know, lock it in and then, you know, be a part of a great organization, a great city. Obviously, I think this is the best basketball organization and city in the NBA, so feels good.
It does feel good to see Peyton Pritchard ink his name for an extension here with the Celtics. The final hour of KJ and Lyons on WEEI. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Fitzy and Hart, follow us here on WEEI at 4 o'clock. So, John, you know, we talked during the week about Pritchard being, you know, getting this deal where it now moves him from about a $2 million a year guy now to about $7.5 million a year. Do you think Pritchard is part of the future of this team with this extension, or do you think there's something else at play?
So, look, I do think the contract is more tradable now because of money than it was before, but I think he's got to be part of their plans. I mean, they're short on guards. They have Holiday and White, who I love, elite defensive guards, good offensive players, but at least for the regular season, they need somebody that can come in and run their second unit. Or if there's a night that Holiday's not available or White, who played 82 games last year, is not available, they need somebody who can step in, and I think their options beyond Pritchard are really non-existent. So I think he's important in that sense. Now, once April and May come, I don't know how much we will see Peyton Pritchard on the floor, but I think during the regular season, he is an important piece just for balancing out the roster.
I think the deal is a look-see for Peyton Pritchard for other teams around the league, right? Because if let's go back to the Marcus Smart deal. So if you, before Marcus Smart, because it's funny when you think about Marcus Smart was actually a lottery draft pick, right?
Sixth like, overall.
Right, man. Exactly. He's taken higher than Paul Pierce in Pierce's draft, right? So Marcus Smart had a number of, like, a rookie number of, like, eight a year, right? But he proved himself to be a great player, great on the defensive end. And when there was value in inquiry about potentially what he could be for other teams, his number was too low, right? There's no way that you trade Marcus Smart at $8 million a year and only being able to get back an $8 million a year player. That's why when Marcus Smart got bumped up to like the 18-20 number, I said, okay, he's nice and primed for someone who can offer something in real return if they ever make a deal for Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart is gone now, and you're able to get some of that money back. I think it's the same thing with Peyton Pritchard. Now, here's what's tricky about Pritchard. Because it's what they call a PPP deal, or PP deal, I think I'm getting the loans and the deals mixed up, where if you try and trade him, you can't trade him for that $7 million per year. You have to trade him for the whole number of that contract. So $30 million would have to come off the books, and this is why I think that Pritchard is going to be traded later on down the line, potentially for someone to try and get it done right away, win now, and then free up that $30 million off of the books completely. Am I making sense so far, John?
You are, and if you look at the trade chips the Celtics have, the most attractive ones are all those picks they have, but off right. Their roster right now, he's probably the most attractive trade chip they would have to send out somewhere now that Robert Williams is gone, Malcolm Brogdon's gone. So, like, but even with that, if they were to trade Pritchard, I wouldn't do it this year unless they have a front court injury. Like, if Porzingis or Horford get hurt and you need a real front court player, then I would trade him. Otherwise, I would either keep him for the length of the contract or trade him in a couple of years if you need to shed some salary at that point, because Tatum and Brown both have supermax extensions in play then.
Well, that's what I'm getting to, right? Yeah. with the Supermax is about to kick in, and obviously you'd want Jaylen Brown to stay. You'd want to say, hey, this Porzingis thing is working out. You're going to have to free up money somewhere. So here's what's crazy, and I'm not saying this is a trade I would put out there, but this is why this trade type would make sense. You could actually now trade Peyton Pritchard for Russell Westbrook and his last year on his deal.
I would never do that.
Now, here's the thing. Now, here's why I'm saying that. This is why I'm putting that out there, is because you might say, hey, I only need a person to run the second unit offense and not be part of the key part of running the second, but not being part of the offense. You might say, I would take a Russell Westbrook to make a playoff run for 1 year only as a backup guard to both Derek White and to Drew Holiday. All I need from him is to rebound and to dish. If he can do that, then is that worth getting rid of Peyton Pritchard, who hasn't been playing minutes over the years? If you'd missed any of the show, you can get the Odyssey app. It's free. And would you rather more likely to either or? We pointed out each year, Peyton Pritchard's minutes per game has gone down since his rookie year. So you would have to ask, in a playoff situation, if you're going up against the Milwaukee or you're going up against a revamped Philly or an improved Philly, whatever they end up doing, do you believe that you can get more out of Russell Westbrook as a defender, rebounder, and assist maker than you can of Peyton Pritchard as a scorer? Right now, the answer is yes.
Yeah, I mean, I just think Russell Westbrook can't shoot. So that to me,
I don't need him to shoot. If I don't need him to shoot, I need him to defend. If he can rebound and if he can make us and he can dish, she can dish out. That's great. But at the same time, you say we're waiting to see if Pritchard can be a consistent shooter that hasn't shown itself yet.
Yeah, and look, for 1 year, I see your point on it, KJ, but I'd much rather use Pritchard to trade for front court help, because I think, like, you have Drew Holiday and White, who are two really good guards. Tatum can handle the ball if you need to as well. So if you're going to make a move, I would want more front court depth, considering Porzingis, who I love, does have an injury history, and Horford is in his late 30s. Like, I think that is your bigger need. If you're looking for, like, hey, a piece to help us in a playoff run, I think that is the bigger need than a third guard, you know, who might not play that much because you have Holiday and White. Now, obviously, that could change if Holiday or White gets hurt, but I think your bigger need, if you're the Celtics right now, would be front court depth, because, like, I mean, you gave up Robert Williams in that deal to get Drew Holiday. So I just, like, I understand, and it is a more tradable contract now. I just would rather, if he is traded, for it to be for front court help. But I don't think they're going to trade him.
Well, that's what I would find toughest for the Celtics to do, is be able to find quality front court help at that price, right? Because you're like, okay, do you go out and get a guy who's expiring, who has $30 million left on the deal? No, because the idea is you'd want to bring in some front court help that's still going to stay around. So you either have to go for a younger front court help guy, let's say a Jaren Duren in Detroit, where you've got three big men there, and they're trying to figure out, okay, is it Bagley? Is it going to be Wiseman? Is it going to be Duren? Like, Duren is the guy that they like, but he's the one that would match up with Pritchard. Or do you talk to Memphis again and maybe you look at Xavier Tillman Sr. and Konkak as, you know, a contour, as a two-for-one deal to help size up that backcourt? But I think it's going to be tougher moving Pritchard for a big guy than it would be to say, okay, can we get another big game type defender in the backcourt that can also assist and rebound? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I want Russell Westbrook here. You're missing the point. I'm saying that if you can't get the big man that you want, the next thing you're going to want to do is get a playoff-tested defender that can at least help out. Like, yeah, he can't shoot, but Tatum and Brown are not going to, they're not going to be giving him the ball to shoot. And you'd probably say that at some point, Drew, let's say it is Westbrook back there, it's going to be Drew Holiday more likely taking any of those shots than it would be Westbrook. So yeah, he wouldn't be in that effect.
I think Derek White's probably a better defender than Russell Westbrook anyway.
I totally get that, but we're talking about a third guard, right?
And yeah, it's like, but I think for the Celtics, you would want your third guard to be more of an offensive focus guy, because your top two guards are both had a defensive rating of 112 last year and are both really good.
If nobody's giving that up and Peyton Pritchard shows to be that, okay, this guy just isn't ready for the prime time, and we see that, you have to make some type of move, because you cannot go into the playoffs virtually with a bench that looks like it did 2 years ago, right? Minus Grant Williams, right? Yeah. So you're talking about Peyton Pritchard will be your primary scorer off the bench. And I would be concerned, right? This is where you wonder, like, gosh, if Danilo Gallinari if you could have just seen 10, 12 games out of him, what he had, and if he was still here, I would feel much better about that bench. That's why the disappearance of Robert Williams is so, so key. because at least you had a three-man rotation on that front end, and you knew that the front end was being taken care of, and then there wouldn't be as much pressure on Pritchard to be a scorer or to be a facilitator as that second team. He could always get the fast break going off of Rob. Maybe that's where he sees more open threes. But again, we were seeing Pritchard giving open shots and missing them last year. So that's just a little bit of my concern, is you're putting all the weight on Pritchard to be the primary scorer off the bench. I say he might be being looked at as how do you make it? And you just don't know who's going to be disgruntled around the NBA by time to trade. So you think he stays? Do you think he plays Brogdon's 26 minutes a game?
So I know we talked about that earlier. I don't know if he quite gets
there. For those who are still here.
I know when we did the, either or more likely, I said it would be close. I don't know if he quite gets there, because White and Holiday are going to play a lot. You're going to have Horford's probably going to be the first man off the bench. I know it's a different position, but he'll be the first man off the bench. Like, I think Pritchard runs the second unit in the second quarter every night, but then I think in the second half, they get a lot more matchup dependent, and sometimes they have, Derek White and Drew Holiday out there. Other times it's one of those two with Horford and Porzingis out there, because Tatum and Brown will, always be out there,
right, they're
in
always
key situations. So I think around them, like, I could see Pritchard, like, last year, he was, at 13 minutes a game, 13 and a half? Like, right. I could see him getting to 19 or 20, because he plays the second quarter and spurts here in the second half as well. I don't know if he'll get quite to the 26 number. And also, too,
so that means you'll be adding at least another 5 minutes to both Holiday and to White. They'll be playing 5 additional minutes probably per game.
And Porzingis will pick up some of that, I think, too. So
I'm talking about backcourt minutes. Marcus Smart's minutes that are gone and Brogdon's minutes are gone. Who makes up those, right? So I think Smart was 32 minutes a game last year, right? And Brogdon was 26, so that's 58 minutes right there. So how do you, and then, of course, add in White with last year. I don't know what his number
was. I would lean more towards, Holiday will make up the Smart minutes. Like, that to me is a swap for swap. He might even play a little bit more sometimes than Smart did. It's really
32 minutes,
the Brogdon-Pritchard swap. And Brogdon is also a better player. Like, he won sixth man of the year for a reason. He's going to be out there more. But you wonder if Pritchard will make up some of that, and then maybe they'll just do a mix of other younger guys in the regular season who aren't going to play in the playoffs anyway.
Yeah, if you're talking about Pritchard really running the second quarter, and if it gets out of hand, or there is a lead, like, do you see Pritchard as a key component in the fourth quarter? Because there was, M.A. tried it a little bit in his first year. You saw little glimpses of it, but he yanked it back when he saw that Pritchard was not being hitting those open shots. Like, if you remember back to that Miami series, right? And then if you get into last year, not as much usage as he got in the year before, and now we're talking this year, like, demanded usage from him. And that part we haven't seen, and we're 3 years in. Now, in fairness, this is kind of similar to what Steve Nash went through in his career, right? His first couple of years just pretty much laid on the bench and then suddenly exploded. So maybe that's the bet and gamble that Brad Stevens has on this guy. And if that's the case, then, ladies and gentlemen, you have a new legend in Boston in Peyton Pritchard.
And the other thing, too, is Drew Holiday still hasn't signed an extension yet. So it's also some insurance that maybe Drew Holiday is a one-year rental. And I hope that's not the case, but let's say it comes to that.
It might be at 34, because if you're at 34, you want to at least get a contract that gets you to 37 years.
Right. So if it ends up being a one-year rental, then Pritchard's one of your either starting guards next year, or he's the first guy off the bench next year. So that's another piece. And then if Pritchard's one of your starting guards or the first guy off the bench at $7 million, that's a pretty good deal next year going forward. But hopefully Holiday gets an extension. It doesn't come to that.
All right, before we go to Trenton, let's pull in Justin Turpin real quick. He writes for WEEI, covers the Celtics. I'm still trying to figure out, how you're getting all these passes. And then when I see you at the game, I'm like, hey, you need to talk to Thomas and get better seats. Like, where are they putting you? No, I'm kidding. So do you think Pritchard is more of a trade bait towards the end of the year, or he's a 25-minute-a-game guy now?
I think he's closer to the 25-minute-a-game guy. He has to be part of what they're trying to do here, especially with how thin they are at guard. So I think he is closer to that 25-minute-a-guy night.
And we need to get you at least in Greg Hill's seats a couple of times. I mean, Greg barely knows sports. Like, he probably knows Ozzy Osbourne better than he knows sports.
I do like it up top, though. It's nice. You can see everything.
Yeah, of course, your head is against the black back of the wall. You know, like, a T-shirt will never be shot to you.
Oh, no, no, no. They do get up there, though. Some of those T-shirt tosses, man, they go far.
Don't kid yourself. They barely get to the 330s. I'm just kidding.
Actually, I've never seen one in the upper bowl, but you know, I sit up
in the balcony because I'm a man of the people, as you guys know, and I have never got a t-shirt tossed to me up there.
I've sat up in the 300s as well. And look, the only time I had a t-shirt, I have one t-shirt. You know what it was? It's a playoff game because they laid one on every seat.
Yeah, I have one. Yep, from the 2009 playoffs. I think I still have it. They laid it on my seat, so I got it.
There you go. It's KJ and Lions. Justin, thank you so much for the insight. 617-779-7937. We talk Patriots, their 405 game against the Raiders. And boy, I wonder if there's kind of a seance going on right now with Josh McDaniels. I'll explain that. But right now it's time to trend with Justin. Take it away, brother.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Patriots will look to get back on track tomorrow afternoon in Las Vegas against the Raiders. Seven Patriots have already been ruled out for tomorrow's contest, including Demario Douglas, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Cole Strange. 10 more Patriots are listed as questionable, headlined by Trent Brown, Christian Barmore, Kyle Duggar, Jonathan Jones, Mike Onwenu, and Josh Uche. For the Raiders, starting cornerback Nate Hobbs has been ruled out with an ankle injury. Kickoff in that one is set for 4:05. Bruins are back in action tonight, hosting the Nashville Predators over at the TD Garden. Jeremy Swayman will get the start in net for the Bees tonight with puck drop set for 7 o'clock. According to MassLive's Brian Robb, the Boston Celtics have hired Jeff Van Gundy as a senior consultant on their coaching staff. The 61-year-old spent the last 16 years as a broadcaster with ESPN. Prior to broadcasting, Van Gundy spent 11 years as an NBA coach, including stints with the New York Knicks and the Houston Rockets. Van Gundy helped the Knicks reach the NBA Finals in 1999. And the New England Revolution play their final road game of the season against Nashville SC tonight at 8:30. The Rebs sit two points, behind Columbus in the East for getting home field advantage for their first round matchup. I'm Justin Turpin. That's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're back to KJ and Lions on WEEI.
They just don't have it right now. You know, the old Parcells saying, they want me to cook the meal, they should let me shop the groceries. The cupboard is bare right now. They don't have the players right now. They don't have the talent right now. And it all flows to the guy who's both the coach and the de facto general manager, who spends the money, signs the players or doesn't sign the players, such as receiver Jacoby Myers, who they'll see this weekend in a different uniform. One of the guys rare guys, they developed at receiver and they let him walk away. It's just a bunch of bad decisions in recent years that have culminated in a team that isn't physically capable of competing with other NFL teams.
Wow, Mike Florio, get me the Patriots blues. Look, KJ and Lyons, WEEI, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. John, could it be more critical of just saying, look, there's just nothing? Like, is the team broken?
Yeah, and look around the roster. And how many guys can you say are top five players at their position in the league on this roster? Like, Matt Judon's probably a top five player at edge rusher, maybe right on the edge. Christian Gonzalez, I think, could probably get there at some point. And maybe Mike Onwenu when he's playing really well, but that's it. And even those guys, none of those guys are the best at their position. And that's something that, look, I mean, you look at the good teams in the league, right? We talked about the 49ers earlier. They have the best middle linebacker in the NFL, the best pass rusher in the NFL, the best left tackle in the NFL, a top five receiver, the best running back in the NFL, a top five tight end. Like the good teams have guys who are in the top five or six at their position at multiple spots on the roster. And the Patriots really don't, outside of Matt Judon, and I think we've kind of seen that show up this season.
Well, even if you look at the Raiders, we're 4:05 the game tomorrow, not 4:25. And if you remember last year, not 8:25 either, 9:15. Like,
yeah.
Even Josh McDaniels has a above serviceable quarterback at quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo. He's got one of the top receivers in Devontae Adams. He's got one of the top running backs in Josh Jacobs. He's got a growing defense with Max Crosby as probably one of the best defensive linemen in the game, right? And so they have a losing record and still seemingly have hope. I think what's happening with the players, what's happening with the Patriots is it's really true when they say it's a players' league, right? Devontae Adams only goes to the Raiders because Derek Carr, his college teammate, is there, so that's an incentive for him to go there. The question is, who offers any incentive to come here from the player level? Now, we've seen Matthew Judon send out the tweets during the offseason, during the free agent but I also wonder if that was kind of I don't want to use the wrong word because you put it in the wrong context, it becomes kind of touchy. But he almost kind of is like a person who is being held against their will, if you will, knowing that people aren't coming, right? Because he sent out these tweets, hey, come on down. Hey, come on through. And if you say where Belichick needed Brady, it's in that regard. Players would come if Brady wanted him to, if he wanted them to come, right? Antonio Brown is literally the person who had changed the odds in Vegas when he came. He's only here for one game. And after that, it went back to the Chiefs being favored to win the Super Bowl. But when Antonio Brown came, because they were like, look, Tom Brady just needs this one guy and they'll be able to get it done. Now there is no player. And I understand, because here was some of the argument I was making for Mac Jones early on. Why don't you make a move, one of these Alabama receivers who knows what environment he's coming from under the same coach with Saban, get him to the Patriots? Like, even at the time when there was a chance to possibly get someone like a AJ Green, even though he didn't play at Alabama, but he understands that whole culture of what it is to be a pro, bring him in as a starter kit, if you will. And then maybe you make, if he does well with that starter kit, maybe you make the plays for the Judys or for the Waddles of the in the league. But he can't even pull those guys from Alabama to come be part of what's going on. And that's the concern. It's the quarterback who's going to pull players.
Yeah, well, and I also think you can't really pull Waddle and Judy because they're under contract. Like, you know, like it's not like they're free agents. I think the two biggest recruiting tools are winning and money, and they don't do either, right?
Well, let's look at the situation with Judy, right? If you had a quarterback that was halfway decent right now and Mac Jones right now, and the conversations that's going on about Judy being available for a very favorable number, you might say, hey, Judy says, I want to go play with Mac because I know with him and I, we could put it over the top the way we did in college. But now you have to look at the situation and be like, the ship be sinking. I don't want to add an additional 100 pounds or so onto the ship while it's going underwater. So that's part of the issue is, even if they were available, like DeAndre Hopkins was in the facilities and I knew he wasn't coming just because, well, I really thought he just came because grandma was like, baby, just go in there and forgive Mr. O'Brien. Just stand there, be very gentlemanlike. Don't think about what happened in Houston and politely say no, and God will take care of the rest. That was a good grandma, wasn't it?
Well, look, and I think the biggest recruiting tools in the NFL are winning and money. And the Patriots had a losing season last year. There's uncertainty right now, and they consistently go below the market except for the 2021 offseason when it comes to money. So it's tough to bring guys in when you don't have either of those tools. Like throughout the Brady years, they would go below the market, but they were winning all the time. So guys would say, hey, I'll go there, win a ring, and then get a huge free agent contract after. We saw that a bunch of examples of that. But now when you're not winning on top of it, like in 2021, they were coming off a losing season that spring and they paid a bunch of money. So they got guys that way. But if you're not going to do either, you're not going to get guys.
Are mid-level in the league in terms of active money, right?
They don't go to the top of the market on contracts consistently.
Okay.
And I'm not saying you have to do it all the time, but they don't.
So you would almost argue, it's like, hey, if you're in the top 15 in contracts and everything isn't like equal on one side and the other, in terms of like seven over there and seven over here, you would say by the way you're spending, according to the way people are paid, you should be on the cusp of being a playoff team. You may not be right there, but you should be at the edge of it based upon what you're saying, either spending or winning, right?
So, and they don't do either.
So, well, if you're spending somewhere towards the middle, you should be close to the middle. They're not close to the middle.
But last year they were in the middle. They went 8-9, barely missed the playoffs.
No, that's not the middle. Like, that's losing. Like, I'm talking about the middle of a playoff race.
You said close to the middle, and they were in the playoff race on the last week of the season. So they were in the middle of the league, essentially. 8-9, and the year before, 10-7. Like, that's a middling team. And now they're worse than that because the talent has got a little bit worse from the last couple of years, and they're not playing well. And they had opportunities to sign guys this year, and they didn't pay enough money to sign them, whether it was Hopkins, Caleb McGorry, Mike McGlinchey, like whoever you want to look at. Like, okay, didn't spend.
Well, with Hopkins, they were willing to match the $15 million. It's just that they had more incentives for him to get to the $15 million.
Yeah, so they didn't want to spend as much.
Right, but you're willing to spend as much.
No,
but what
if
you're
they
saying,
were willing to spend, they would have offered him guaranteed incentive. Really wanted him, they would have said, okay, we'll give you the guaranteed money. And I'm not against incentives.
If I'm DeAndre Hopkins.
The Tennessee offer was a better offer than what the Patriots had. That's
it was
why
the same money. You didn't have to do as much.
It was a better offer. One, you know you're getting the money. The other one, if you get hurt, you're not getting the money. So you're going to pick. There are two similar teams, both in the near the middle of the NFL at the time, and one give you guaranteed money, and the other set incentives. The guaranteed money is the better offer every time.
If one contract says you have to do two additional things to get the money, and another one says you have to do one additional thing to get the money, which contract are you going to pick?
The one additional thing. It's more guaranteed money. That's what he picked. That's why he's in Tennessee.
But the Patriots were willing to match. They just had too many conditions
willing to put the guaranteed money on the table.
And if I'm DeAndre Hopkins, I'm looking at that contract saying, this team doesn't have the ability for me to meet these benchmarks that you're going to put in the contract. There's no way I'm going to get X amount of yards if I don't believe the quarterback or this offense situation is going to even feed me the ball as often as I want. That's why I say players play a big part. Yeah, you could say it's winning and money, but you could have a bunch of money and not win, and sometimes you can win and not spend a lot of money, right? The Patriots were one of those teams that didn't have to spend a lot of money, and a lot of that goes to Tom Brady of constantly renegotiating his contract, folding a lot of that stuff over into bonus money towards the end of the year. So that was him playing a part in them being able to not spend. But now in this league, you need players to want to get other players on board to play with them. That's how you get it done in this league.
Yeah, and if you win with those players or you pay them the amount of money, they'll come to your team. Like, that's like players, like you're talking about players want to come. Yeah, they want to come with players that are good and that win. Like, Tom Brady won every year, so guys wanted to come play with him.
The Commanders are the fourth highest active payroll
They spend recklessly, though. Like, that's a bad example.
But they spend.
But they don't win. Like, that's the thing. So if you want players to come, you either have to win or spend money. They spend money, so players go there. They just don't spend it on the right guys. Like, they misevaluate who they spend on. Like, that doesn't mean you shouldn't spend because they screw up.
Okay, so the Bengals won. They pay and they win, right? Jaguars,
and
they're two.
Yeah.
Okay, Jaguars two. They pay and they're starting to win. Chiefs, we know that story. Commanders, they pay and don't win. Giants, they pay and don't win. Ravens, they pay, the jury's out. Falcons pay and don't win. Cowboys pay, and let's call it what it is. They don't win.
They do make the playoffs every year. Like, they do win.
Okay, fair enough. In the NFC,
and it's the Ravens do have a winning record right now. So
okay, so the Cowboys, the Seahawks, I would say I think they've got a great balance. Broncos pay and don't win. Dolphins pay and win. Lions, they're now turning it around. Bears pay and don't win. Colts pay and don't win. Bills pay and win. Then you get to the Patriots.
Yep. So, like, what's your point? Like, I'm saying, like, if you want good players to come here.
So, spending
here,
lower than them and winning, I see the Chargers. I see the Eagles below them. Yep. I see the 49ers spending less than the Patriots. I see, the Bucks are doing well and pay way less. So
yeah, and you're also talking about teams that have drafted well, too. Like, the 49ers have a bunch of awesome draft picks there.
Well, that's because, earlier in the show, I said because they had a good run of being horribly bad and being able to get people like a Nick Bosa at number two. Yep. Right? Like, right, if you're
talking about paying a lot of money, too.
Right, but that's fine. But if the Patriots get to a number two draft pick next year, they don't have the luxury to go get a defensive end. Right? Like, you know you have a quarterback situation. So a lot of it has to do with, if a player is great and they're going to bring other players are going to want to play along with them. That's what Brady proved going to Tampa. All those guys coming around to play for the minimum. That's the extreme. But then when you start getting like the situation with Tua, Tua literally went from, hey, we're trying to get, what's the guy's name? Deshaun Watson in here tomorrow. Right. But they said, you know what? We brought in a coach. And I know you'd be like, that's the key. Brought in a coach who believed in what Tua could do. Tyreek Hill got the most money. That's where your argument does come in. And they drafted Jaylen Waddle. Yep. And look where they are now. Now, are the Patriots ever going to be as bad as the Dolphins were through those years to be able to have a high pick like Tua and to be able to have all this cap room to sign a Tyreek Hill and still draft a Jaylen Waddle? I say there has to be a period of 3 or 5 years of mediocrity to bad seasons to be able to get to that point.
Yeah, and I think we have already, like, in 2020, they were bad. 2022, they were, you know, middling but still not good, and they've drafted, you know, relatively high a couple of years, and now it looks like they're really bad right now and may draft high. But I also think, like, that lets them off the hook to an extent of they didn't draft impact players for, like, 5 years. Like, you can find, like, I know you're not drafting in the top 10, but, like, you can't draft any impact players for 5 years. And I shouldn't say any, but, like, very few impact players for 5 years. I just reject that. I mean, look at the impact players they drafted when they were good in drafting late. Like, Rob Gronkowski was a second-round pick. Julian Edelman was a seventh-round pick. Deion Branch was a second-round pick. Corey Dillon and Wes Welker, they traded second-round picks for. Like, you can get impact players without drafting in the top 10.
Corey Dillon was so happy you could have offered him a refrigerator he was coming.
Yeah, it's still harder. Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's harder to get impact players, but I also don't want to let them off the hook for the fact that, you know, they drafted Sony Michel instead of Nick Chubb in the first round. Like, you know, they drafted N'Keal Harry instead of Deebo Samuel or A.J. Brown. Like, that also lets them off the hook.
I would say, did Sony Michel produce in the Super Bowl running year?
Yeah, Nick Chubb would have too, and they'd be better now. And I was a huge Sony Michel supporter. He was awesome in 2018. He's a big reason why they won that Super Bowl. They still drafted the wrong running back from Georgia.
KJ and Lions, WEEI, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937 still to come. We got the Lions, Den. That's about 10 minutes away. And then Fitzy and Hart got you from 4 to 6. So the NFL power rankings came out last week, and the Patriots are 30th. The Broncos are behind them, and so are the Panthers at 32. So it's interesting because the Patriots have games remaining against 1, 2, 3 teams that are under 25, okay? So which teams do you think the Patriots, in its current existence right now that we see in front of us, will have trouble with or not have trouble with? So let's start with the Broncos. They're 31st. They're worse. They're considered worse than the Patriots. That's a December 24th game. Get ready for the flex, folks. Broncos, Patriots. That game played. What plays out?
So I'm not as worried about the Broncos. Like, I think they're in a really bad spot. That defense is awful. Russell Wilson, I know his numbers are better than last year, but he just looks like he's totally washed up and was a major product of Pete Carroll and those great Seahawks defenses, too. So I'm not worried really about the Broncos beating the Patriots. As bad as the Patriots have been, I just think that Broncos team is in a really, really bad spot. And by then, who knows, they may have traded Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton as well.
Right. So I would be concerned because, hey, the Broncos team that everybody's hanging their hat on, giving up the 70 points, I think gave up like 40, I think, in the week before, just held the Chiefs to what? 18 points?
Yeah, I think that was like an 18-7 game, I want to say, or 18, something like that, yeah.
Right, and what's the number the Patriots have problems getting to,
That was also a Thursday night game, though, too. Divisional Thursday night game.
But, right, but they'd lost 15 in a row to the Chiefs, so no one was thinking, hey, the Broncos are going to pull this off.
And Mahomes threw an end zone interception. Like, that could have been a high
score. And they played with their food as well.
Yeah. But I mean, again, you're right. Hey, it was 19, you know, 19 points is 19 points.
Right. So I think it's a closer game than what we would think on paper going into the season, which we thought that this is a game that they would win.
Yeah.
All right, how about November 26th? The Giants, that's around Thanksgiving. That's the, I think it's the Thanksgiving game?
It's a few days after Thanksgiving. It's that week. You're right, it's that week. But right. Yeah, no, I'm not worried about the Giants at all. As bad as Mac Jones is, I actually think Daniel Jones is worse.
I say it should be a loser, loser loses Jones, right? Like whoever loses that game cannot use Jones as their last name for the rest. So it's either just Mac or Daniel, whoever loses that game, like a loser leaves town wrestling match. The Giants are right ahead of the Patriots at 29. Now, there has been talk that maybe that Saquon Barkley could be on the move. Saquon Barkley signing that one-year deal now seems absolutely brilliant because it's like, hey, I don't have to stay. And, oh, my knee hurts even though we had the running back meeting at the beginning of the year. No one knows what was on that Zoom meeting. But he may be out the door by the time we get to November 26th. And if that's the case, I mean, the Giants are already bet offensively. I think that's still a game that the Patriots could get healthy on. So I agree with you there. At 27 and a game on November 5th, right around the corner, are the Commanders. Now, this is a game that I am worried about because they lose in shootouts. We haven't seen the Patriots in a shootout.
Yeah, and the other thing is their defensive line is fantastic, led by Jonathan Allen. Like, those are guys that can get
Chase
after.
Young,
like, they can get after the quarterback on that defensive line. So, like, I'm not a huge and Sam Howell's had some good moments, you know, for sure, but I'm not a huge Sam Howell guy. But, hey, they have Terry McLaurin. Like, they have, like, an underrated roster. They just can't figure it out at quarterback. But the rest of their roster, they do have some decent pieces there. And Eric Bieniemy is the offensive coordinator. Like, you know, the Patriots have held down those Mahomes Chiefs teams, but they've always had a habit of scoring points in the second half against the Patriots. Bieniemy, you know, obviously a lot of that's Mahomes, but Bieniemy may have some answers in the second half of that game. So, yeah, I'm of the games we've talked about, I'm the most concerned about that one.
So I would be most concerned about the Commanders game, which they are 27th. Then I would be most concerned about the Broncos because if their defense shows up and plays semi-lights out, not the 70-point stuff, it's going to be a problem for the Chiefs. It'll be a problem for the Patriots. And then the Giants, who are ranked 29th, I don't think there's anything they could do. Like, I mean, Lucy can go out there and hold the football for them, and you still feel like they're going to miss knowing that she's going to yank it. That's just how bad the Giants are right now. So,
yeah.
KJ and Lyons, WEEI, we wrap it up next here. Thank you so much for being part of your Saturday.
From the Rubenstein Law Studios, 1-800-BOS-LEGAL. This is WEEI, New England's sports original.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
Yeah, Justin, let that rock a little. KJ, WEEI, along with John Lyons. Thank you so much for spending your Saturday here with us. I had to play that, man. Rudolph Isley, the oldest of the Isley brothers, just passed away this week. Now you might be like, okay, KJ, what does that have to do with sports? But this is a story of you can't trust AI. So if you type in Rudolph Isley in Google, it produces the very first picture, a picture of a buddy of mine named John Mons, who's in the radio industry. Say, like, wait a minute. John isn't dead, and he's not Rudolph Isley. So I'm texting his brother. I'm like, do you see that your brother picture. Have you seen this before, John, where AI identifies someone totally different and says that's the person who's died?
So I have seen a few examples of like people Googling images and AI brings up the wrong person completely. So AI may take over the world someday. They just got a little bit of work to do.
You know, I've just noticed there tends to be a habit. Like they'll identify Mike Tomlin as Omar Epps or John Mons as Rudolph Isley. Like, okay, damn it. Okay, some of us look similar, but we don't all look alike. If you missed any of the show of KJ and Lyons, it's on the Odyssey app free. Type in WEEI 937. It'll bring you right here to the station. Make sure you click the little heart. It'll save you to bring you right here to the station. And you can hear any of the shows during the week and through the weekend as well. Plus the podcast, Fitzy and Hart are coming up 4 o'clock today. So one of the interesting stories that happened before we get to the Lions Den here in a couple of minutes was the Pat McAfee show revealing that they do pay Aaron Rodgers to be on its show. I don't understand why there's some blowback, but here's something I do understand about the show, and I'm seeing it develop. Have you had a chance to watch any of it, John?
So I've seen clips here and there. I don't watch the whole show, though.
Okay. Part of my study is, okay, it's a new show. People are making a bark about it. One of the big things that people were making a big fuss about it going to ESPN is, would people still be able to curse? And so the idea is that, hey, they'll let some of that stuff through, but here's what I think is the setup. It all depends on who curses. Right. If you're one of the producers and sidekicks who have dropped a few, trust me when I tell you this, they are waiting for one complaint to come in and boom, you're off the show. Right. Because who did they sign up for this deal? Now, Pat said, I want my guys, but your guys can't be the ones cursing. Aaron Rodgers, when he was on there last week, dropped a curse word. They're not going to say, hey, get rid of Aaron Rodgers off of that show because he said S-bomb. No, but if one of the producers say it, they're easily replaceable. So I wonder in this environment, in this bro culture, that all brothers are not created equal. I'm just going to say that. So I don't have a problem. I think it came out that he's giving Aaron Rodgers $1 million out of his own money, which is a smart play, right? Because if you want to be able to have the content and ensure it's there, pay out of your own pocket than waiting to go to corporate and saying, hey, can you do it?
I'll go on his show for that price. I think that's a fair price.
You know what? At some point, John, we're going to have to determine who we're going to pay to come on to this show.
Right? Because we'll pay Justin Turpin, I suppose.
We don't pay him, right? He gets paid by the company. But, right, because they get a whole lot of show in 3 hours on a Saturday. We'll be back here again next Saturday as well. So we appreciate any of you who have listened to the show. I even get, like, private messages from, like, random people on Instagram who have given kudos to the show. I personally don't know them. I just say thank you very much. I'm trying to figure out why they have all these numbers at the end of their name and why they are always in a bikini picture and they don't have any friends. But hey, their opinion matters, John.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Another piece that I've heard. I stepped out the room because First Take, we're in the sports ecosystem, right? I had to walk out the room. I was washing some clothes right before I go pick up the daughter from school. And I just hear Mad Dog Russo from another room. And I realize you have to watch what's going on because when you hear it, it's blood curdling. It really is. It was like, I don't know how to explain it other than if there was a reenactment of the Titanic at a third grade school and kids all had to scream that they were falling off, it sounded like that. It was ear curdling. I don't know. I actually enjoy
his segments on First Take sometimes, but I only watch clips. Again, I don't watch the whole show. So
next time you watch a clip, pause it. And then go out the room and let it play. Walk out the room and go and just listen to what you're hearing. You're like, Jesus, what is this? But you know, like, I mean, it is what it is. But I was like, phew. So the McAfee show isn't that bad. It isn't that bad. It's actually better than I thought because I wasn't following it on Twitter. I mean, on YouTube, I wasn't really watching it. But look, he knows his stuff. He understands the entertainment value. And it's somewhat of an original entertainment. Now, I've heard people, I don't know, are you a college football guy? Well, yeah, you are.
Yeah, I don't mind him paying Rodgers to be on either because it's like a full hour, sometimes more of Rodgers. It's one thing right. If it's a phone call. Like, if you do a phone call, you shouldn't pay for that. But if you're having someone come on video for an hour, sometimes more, like, right. I don't mind him paying Rodgers.
If I was the Jets, I would be like, you know what, of the tens of millions that we're paying you, you couldn't spend that hour talking to Zach over here kind of?
Yeah, maybe there's only so much he can teach Zach Wilson.
Well, but you know, if you know that you're getting paid from somebody else during a personal time that you could be working with your teammate and we're planning to keep you next year. You know, I think this, the look, whatever you think of Aaron Rodgers, I don't think anything has really ever changed about him. I thought going to New York and being in a winning situation would do it, but he's clearly an unfocused guy. When you know, you count to 10 out loud, suddenly he's got something else to say. I think Danica Patrick kind of predicted all of this a couple years ago when she wrote that. I think it was the Vanity Fair, one of those magazines, where she just kind of like laid into like what the dude was missing, like emotionally. I was like, I think I saved it as a thing on my browser. So, yeah, sports and landscape is getting pretty interesting. It's very vivacious. You know, I get Mad Dog. I get the idea. You know, some people have a way that they feel about Stephen A. Stephen A. and my older brother went to college together. I know of Stephen A. when I started my career. We were both down in North Carolina in the Greensboro area. Like, Stephen A. might have been covering Wake Forest tennis at the time. So, okay, really quick. Give us the Lions Den. One, John.
Bruins. See the one about win. Lions?
Can't lose to this head after.
King of the jump.
All right, John, first one, Bruins' new season.
Yep.
Will they roar or meow this year?
I think they roar. I actually think they might go deeper in the playoffs than they did last year.
All right, even without Patrice Bergeron?
Yeah, just because last year they collapsed so bad in the playoffs. That's the big reason.
I think last year was supposed to be the farewell tour. This year, I think, is going to be a surprise tour. Tyquan Thornton on track to return soon for the Pats. Roar or meow when he comes back?
Sadly, I think it's a meow.
Yeah, why run fast when everybody's running faster the other way? Yeah. Phillies knock out the Braves on their way to the NLCS, maybe to the World Series again?
Yep. I think the Phillies are going to go all the way, and Dave Dombrowski is going to be a world champion once again.
He's going to smile and have the little flashing tooth shine, going, ding, standing right next to Schwarber. Probably bring Heim Bloom into the kind of like the rec room of everything, just kind of like the NWO. Yep. So thank you so much for hanging out with us here on KJ and Lions. We ran out of time. I apologize for that, but Fitz and Hart are next. Say that quick after 4 hours. At The Real John Lyons on Twitter, at KJ Carson. Have a wonderful Saturday. We'll talk to you again 1 week from today, 1 p.m. here on WEEI. See you, John.
See ya.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.